Good morning, everyone. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, enable us by your Spirit to hear your voice through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning again, and please be seated. Yes, I will be preaching from Jonah chapter 2 on the topic praying from the depths. Let me begin by asking you a question. Are you glad to be alive? Yes, I hear one yes there. Well, an elderly gentleman once told me that when he wakes up every morning, he thanked God that he was still alive. At his age, he said, every day was a bonus from the Lord. And I would add that in this pandemic, we are taught to value life, to treasure each God-given day, and invest it wisely in the things that count for eternity. Jonah was certainly grateful to be alive when God delivered him from near death by drowning. We learned last Sunday that Jonah fled from God's assignment. Instead of going to Nineveh, he boarded a ship bound for Tarshish. God sent a violent storm which threatened to break up the ship, and the sailors had to throw Jonah overboard to calm the raging seas. As Jonah sank to the bottom of the sea, God sent a big fish to swallow him up. The question that often pops up is, can a man survive in the belly of a fish? Some speculate the fish was a whale, while others think it was a dogfish. Well, in 1891, it was reported that James Butley was harpooning a large sperm whale when he fell into the sea. When the whale was killed and cut open, they found James in the whale's stomach, unconscious but alive. His face, neck, and hands were bleached to a deathly white from the acid in the whale's stomach. In other stories, people were swallowed up by big fish, and the victims were either dead or unconscious and near death in the belly of the fish. Whether or not these stories are true or what kinds of fish people can survive inside is really not the main point. We all know that God is sovereign and He can do whatever He wants. The fact that Jonah was kept alive and well inside the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights is a miracle which only God can perform. It was a rather unusual way of saving a drowning man. God could have sent a big bird to pick Jonah up the minute he was hurled into the sea and transport him to dry land. But God chose instead to send a fish to swallow Jonah up. From the deep, dark belly of the fish, Jonah turned to God in prayer. He deserved to die for rebelling against God, yet God had graciously delivered him. Out of deep gratitude to God, Jonah composed a psalm of thanksgiving to God. Jonah's psalm draws from various parts of the Psalms, which was the prayer book of his people, and to it he added his own composition. He acknowledged that everything that had happened to him was God's doing. The narrative in chapter 2 and verse 1 changes to poetic language. For you, that is God, cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows pass over me. I'm driven away from your sight. The reality of drowning is captured in the poetry of verses 5 and 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. As water filled his lungs, he sank to the roots of the mountains, which is really at the very bottom of the sea. The climax of his prayer in verse 6 portrays Jonah at death's door, where the bars of Sheol, Sheol being the grave or the realm of the dead, like a prison closed in on him forever. Now, drowning only takes a couple of seconds to occur, but it does take place in stages. And these stages can take between 10 to 12 minutes before death actually occurs. As his life was fainting away, Jonah cried out to the Lord, and God delivered him. We can learn three things from Jonah's prayer or psalm of thanksgiving. Firstly, prayer from the depths of our utter helplessness moves the heart of God. He hears our desperate cries for help. The second point, and here I've taken a line from a well-known author, Philip Yancey, prayer invites us to bring our lives into God's presence for cleansing and restoration. And number three, prayer is calling on the only God who alone has the power to save us. So first lesson, prayer from the depths of our utter helplessness moves the heart of God. God hears our desperate cries for help. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2. I cried out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. A Norwegian theologian by the name of Ole Hellesby said that only he who is helpless can truly pray. How true it is that it's most often in our utter helplessness that we pray earnestly to God from the depths of our soul. Philip Yancey cited a character in one of Henry Adams' novels who cried out in frustration, "Why must the church always appeal to my weakness and never to my strength?" Yancey's response was, "I can think of several reasons. In a world that glorifies success, an admission of weakness disarms pride. At the same time, that it prepares us to receive grace. Meanwhile, the very weakness that drives us to pray becomes an invitation for God to respond with compassion and power." My friends, have you run away from God and you feel that you are in a shipwreck? Perhaps His plans for you didn't fit into your own ideas. Perhaps a bitter disappointment or disappointments in life has shaken your faith and you struggle to keep afloat. Perhaps you have failed God so miserably and have sunk so low that you despair of life itself. Friends, no matter what situation we may be in, even if our present predicament is due to our rebellion against God, our Father's heart is a heart of compassion, and He hears every distressing cry for help. And that was my personal experience in my 20s. I backslided very badly, and I drifted away from God. After 2 years of chasing after the material things of the world, I felt very, very empty inside. In my desperation, I cried out to God, and I said to Him, "God, please help me. If you don't help me, I'm going to die spiritually. I'm going to give up my faith." But God heard my cries from the depths of my soul, and He restored me to Himself. The second thing we can learn from Jonah's prayer is that prayer invites us to bring our lives into God's presence for cleansing and restoration. God goes to the root of our problems. The fact that we are still alive today shows that God is patient and long-suffering towards us. He could have written Jonah off and chosen another prophet to bring his message to Nineveh, but He did not give up on Jonah. He was concerned about Jonah's deeper issues. Jonah's heart was filled with hatred, anger, and bitterness towards the Ninevites, who dehumanized and brutalized the people they conquered, and that included the Jews. Jonah could not understand why God would ever spare a thought for such evil, undeserving sinners. Bearing in mind that Jonah knew everything that happened to him was God's doing, it is not too far-fetched for us to think that his enforced me time with God in the belly of the fish enabled him to confront the reason, the root issues which led to his running away from God's assignment. Though Jonah chapter 2 does not specifically mention it. Philip Yancey sees prayer as an invitation to bring our lives into God's presence for cleansing and restoration. And I quote him, "God alone knows the selfish motives behind every act, the viper's tangle of lust and ambition, the unhealed wounds," which was probably the case with Jonah, "the unhealed wounds that paradoxically drive me to appear whole. Prayer invites me to bring my whole life into God's presence for cleansing and restoration. Self-exposure is never easy, but when I do it, I learn that underneath the layers of grime lies a damaged work of art which God longs to repair." Was God longing to repair Jonah's hate-filled heart when he confined Jonah to the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights? From my own personal experience, being in a silent retreat with God alone enabled me to sort out many of the deep issues in my life in the presence of God. Friends, will we give God the space and the time to sort out our deeper issues in the place of stillness, silence, and solitude, in the place of prayer? Matthew West wrote the song Forgiveness based on Rini's true story, and I will let Matthew tell us Rini's story in this video.
A woman named Renee Napier wrote to me from Florida, and she shared with me about how she has a mission in her life that she never would have chosen for herself. And she's been on a journey, stepping out of the darkness of bitterness and anger and into the light of forgiveness. She's been asked to do the impossible, and the reason she's been asked to do the impossible is because her 20-year-old daughter was driving home from the beach one night in Florida when her car was struck by a drunk driver. The drunk driver was a 24-year-old kid named Eric, who by all accounts was actually a really great kid. But he was out and made some bad decisions one night and for the first time got behind the wheel of his car drunk. Eric took the lives of both Renee's daughter and her daughter's best friend. Both girls died that night. And Eric, his life came to a screeching halt. Renee's life came to a screeching halt. Everybody involved was in shock. Eric was sentenced to 22 years in prison because of the crime he committed. And here's this grieving mother left to somehow try and pick up the pieces of life after she's had to do what no parent should ever have to do, say goodbye to her child. She said she was in the darkest place that she'd ever been in her life. She was filled with hatred and anger towards the man who was behind bars. And any one of us on the outside could look at that story and say, well, I understand that. I get that. In fact, when I read her story, I thought about my two little girls, you know. And the first thought I had is, if anybody ever tried to harm my children, I don't know that I would have it in me to forgive as God commands us to forgive. And yet, as the months began to pile up, she felt like God was putting it on her heart that she was the one, even though he was behind bars, she was the one being held prisoner. And God just began to remind her, hey, I did the impossible and forgave you. I sent my son for you. Now, if you want to be free, you need to go and forgive this man. So she reached out to Eric behind bars and said, hey, I serve a God who commands me to forgive. So I want you to know that I'm setting it free. I'm forgiving you. More importantly, I want you to know that God can forgive you too. Little did she know that that would change that young man's life. And behind bars, this prisoner, Eric, accepted Jesus into his heart as his own personal savior. Powerful story of what forgiveness can do. The story didn't end there, though. Renee began to develop an unlikely friendship with this young man. And her whole family began to embrace this young man. And now they feel like they lost a daughter, but strangely, they've gained a son. Renee worked with the courts in Florida and had his sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. At the time I was writing this song, I had no idea that this was going on. So I'm writing these songs about setting a prisoner free. And little did I know that this November, Eric is going to be released from prison. And he'll be standing side by side with Renee. Renee goes around the country and shares at schools about the dangers of drunk driving. Now Eric's going to be out of prison standing next to her. She said they're not just going to share about the dangers of drunk driving anymore, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Thank you. So here's a photo of Renee and Eric. The lyrics of Matthew's song, Forgiveness, are quite long. Due to time constraints, I'll only share a few verses. It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel. When the pain they cause is just too real, it takes everything you have to say the word, forgiveness, forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Jonah and Renee, they were both in a very dark place where their hearts were filled with such bitterness towards those who had caused them so much hurt. But God can turn the dark places of our lives into places of His glorious light. We know from chapter 3 and verse 3 that Jonah experienced a partial change of heart when he went to Nineveh to fulfill God's mission. But was his heart completely changed? We need to read the rest of the book to find out. We can certainly identify with Jonah, but instead of focusing on the condition of Jonah's heart, let us focus on the condition of our own hearts and our own responses to God. Will we bring our damaged hearts and lives to God in prayer for His cleansing and His restoration? The third thing we can learn from Jonah's prayer is that prayer is calling on the only God who alone has the power to save us. Jonah concluded his psalm of thanksgiving on a high note when he, with deep conviction, boldly exclaimed, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." This statement means Yahweh is Savior and Yahweh is the only Savior. Salvation belongs to Yahweh and to no other God, to no other source. And Jonah contrasts God's power to save with the uselessness of worshipping idols, those who pay regard to vain idols. He says in verse 8, forsake their hope of steadfast love. Friends, salvation is God's offer, and He has offered it to Jonah. He can also offer it to the Ninevites and to anyone else in the world, even to our worst enemies. So God can, you know, save even the unlikeliest person. It's not for us to judge who is deserving and who is not. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been so thrilled to hear of many people from the young to the old receiving God's offer of salvation. Friends, this is a season of harvest where hearts are open to the Lord and God is doing amazing things amongst us. May we seize this God-given opportunity to return to the Father's heart and return to the Father's business. Chapter 2 ends with a narrative. The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let me reiterate the three things we can learn from Jonah's prayer. Firstly, prayer from the depths of our utter helplessness moves the heart of God. He hears our desperate cries for help. Number two, prayer invites us to bring our lives into God's presence for cleansing and restoration. And the third lesson is prayer is calling on the only God who alone has the power to save us. If you have run away from God or drifted from God, return to the Father. If you're struggling with deep issues such as hatred and unforgiveness, open your heart to God for His cleansing and restoration. If you have experienced God's salvation and have been transformed by His love, may you boldly declare that salvation belongs to the Lord. Only God alone has the power to save us. If you are listening to this sermon and you have not yet received God's offer of salvation, you can do so now by repeating this prayer after me. Let us bow for prayer. Dear God, I admit I've turned my back on you and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus into the world as a man to die in my place as my substitute, to bear the punishment for all my wrongdoing. I ask Jesus to come into my life now, to forgive me of my sins, and to be my Savior and my Lord from this day forward. In His name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer after me just now, please let one of the pastors or your Christian friend know, as we would like to share more with you. If you are listening online, please write in to us at the cathedral and let us know that you have prayed that prayer to receive Christ, and we would like to get in touch with you. Let us now bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to return to your heart and to your business, that we may partner you in your salvation plan for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.